Blog Talk Radio.
How about telling our fans
what the film is all about, and let's get maybe we can get some interest in it. Hello?
Zay? Did we lose him?
No, we're here. He's still on the board. Ty, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, why don't you tell our fans about your film?
Oh yeah. I made a documentary film, and it's called Film Hawk. And you know, we were fortunate enough to be accepted into the Sundance Film Festival. So been really busy with that, really busy. And we fly out to Utah next week, so I'll be gone for about 10 days, and we're going to try to sell the film. So
excellent. That's great. But we had some excellent news down here too. Every year, there the University of Nova University has a think tank for elementary, junior high, and high school students, and each district is allowed to pick one child from each of the three disciplines. Mr. Brady Quinn, who had perfect FCATs this year and last year, and has carried nothing but an A honor roll since he's been in school. He's the elementary pick of the year, and so he'll be heading to I guess it's Fort Lauderdale
awesome.
In the next couple of weeks for a week think tank. So we wanted to congratulate him.
Yes, congratulations, Brady.
Yeah, he's a great kid on top of everything else. Well,
athletic and brilliant.
Yeah. Takes after his mother, not his grandfather. As I tell everybody, I was the part of the bell curve that made those people on top.
Wow.
The only thing in college, but I had a 4.0 all 4 years. The only problem was my blood alcohol.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess David Hay finally got back in the ring after a 3.5-year layoff, but I guess he must have knocked all that rust off before he got in the ring.
Now, was that fight today? I didn't even check to see the results. How did he do?
Well, he took Mark DeMore out in 2.2 minutes and 11 seconds of the first round.
Oh, wow.
Knocked him out.
Oh, wow. Well.
Yeah. So it's kind of a...
Now, DeMore is not the biggest or the, you know, highest ranked heavyweight, but you know, for Hay to come back after a 3-year absence and to make a statement and, you know, actually to make it through training camp first and foremost. Because obviously the last two times we had heard of him, he was in that training camp for Tyson Fury and injured both times, went ahead to shoulder surgery. So he definitely adds some excitement to the heavyweight division. And, you know, he's a guy because of his size. He's not, you know, one of the 6'4", 5", 250-pound giants like you'll see tonight. But because of his size and his speed, but the power he carries, you know, he's a dangerous out for anybody if he's healthy and if he's sharp. So that's pretty good to hear.
It'll be interesting to see where his timing is, how that layoff and the age that put on there. 3 years is a long time. It's a very long time.
Yeah, and he's 35, so it's not like from 24 to 27. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. So that age, we got to see how that tells, and really his speed. His speed is a lot of what gave him his timing, because he was confident enough that he could get in and get out with more or less the shots he wanted to on the defensive angles that he wanted to get out with. David Hay, if he's lost speed significantly, then to be honest, I don't think he's going to be any more good. I don't think he's, especially dealing with elite level, he's going to have to stay at a certain level to even showcase something.
Sure.
As right now, I mean, he could be a Roy Jones, to be honest.
Does that mean he gives up his citizenship, gets a Russian citizenship, and then loses a fight? I just
said, and then loses a fight. He threw that in there, too. Let's just not talk about the citizenship. He did lost the fight, too. Brutally. Brutally. Lost it brutally.
In the worst way.
Mr. Putin will be putting him out. Go home, boy.
Wow.
Well, we got another big fight coming on tonight, huh?
Deontay Wilder and Arthur Smitska. So, for Wilder's championship, as well on the undercard, we have Charles Martin. I can't think, Zarglaskov. You know why Zarglaskov? Yeah, Zarglaskov's Kathy's fighter.
Yeah.
And, Kathy's, she's done a great job with that kid's career. Because honestly, Zarglaskov is not one of the, top four or five heavyweights in the world. He's ranked number 7th in the top 10, but everything, all his performances say he's, average to marginal, a little bit above average at best. But, the kid somehow is undefeated, and he's really, she's done a great job maneuvering him into the spot to be able to claim a title. I guess an opponent that's very beatable for him, too, a guy who doesn't have his level of experience. So, kudos to Kathy Duva.
Z, you want to review with our fans about what Kathy had said about him?
She said that, I was having trouble pronouncing his name last week. Forgive me again this week. The mechanic. So I'm just calling him the mechanic. The mechanic,
right.
He has very good stamina. Just because I posed the question, more or less, to where I said if he has good stamina and could press the fight quite a bit, then I think it could make for an interesting fight, a very, very good fight. Because Ray's a slick southpaw and he's very defensive.
Glaskov? I thought you were talking about Glaskov.
I'm sorry. I went to the Ray. Glaskov, I said he has quality. He's not exceptionally fast. He doesn't exceptionally hit hard, but he's got good quality.
Yeah, he has good fundamentals, and he can out-hustle you.
He's pretty schooled in his quality, meaning that he knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And a fighter like that, you can't discount.
Right. And
Glaskov's the kind of fighter that you can't have an off night against.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because he's always going to, come and give you everything, and he's always going to work hard, and he's never going to stop trying. So he's the kind of guy that you can't kind of take your foot off the gas on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had been over the last couple of months over in Russia, trying to set up some fights and she picked up a couple new prospects, as she had said. But one of the things that she wants to do is to get Glaskov some decent fights here and then take him home to Russia and have him fight in an area around his home. He and the mechanic would be fighting not too far from, I think it was like 40 miles or so from their hometown, and they hadn't done that before. So,
And Zarglaskov could be bringing back an IBF title to fight in Russia. So.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
And Kathy's ultimate plan was to really take Kovalev over to Russia.
Right.
Because, his fan base is huge over there, and he wants to keep fighting. And she was saying that, she have a 2 or 3 fight deal on HBO, and that's only 2 or 3 fights. And Sergey wants to keep making money and keep fighting. He's hungry. So she said there's more fights in Russia. And, she's already been over there to look it over. So,
yeah, she's teamed up with one of the leading promoters over in Russia. And it looks like she's going to be doing more fights over there. So, I wish her a lot of luck. That's a long flight.
she's kind of, what she's doing, though, is she's she's kind of cornering the market. She's put herself in a position through Kovalev and then, of course, Raglaskov and now the mechanic where she, you know, where these Russian fighters are starting to go to main events. And so what she's smart enough to do, obviously, is she's going over there, she's scouting out the talent, and she's grabbing them before they, you know, they hit mainstream America. All the rage right now is Gennady Golovkin and of course, Sergey Kovalev. And so she's, you know, she's on the scout, and she has her eye out for the next Gennady Golovkin, the next Sergey Kovalev. That's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
That is really brilliant.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's really a very smart thing to do because a lot of these guys are sitting back on their, you know, well, they were sitting back on their laurels, and now that Heyman has come through and bought up all the time on TV, they're sitting there trying to figure out what to do. Well, she's not sitting back waiting.
Yeah.
She's putting that that business plan to work, and it seems to be working very well for her.
And what she's realized is there are other markets. Al Heyman, he has a space in United States TV, but the world's a big place.
That's right.
And in the Eastern European market, it's first of all good for harvesting boxers. In all actuality, that's where basically the new champions are seeming to come from. And then you have the fan base. They have a very large fan base over there for boxing. Not, I mean, dare I say larger than the United States. United States has a bigger stage. For the most, it has a bigger, you know, when you're in the United States, you're fighting on HBO, then the world does get to see you. That's the bigger stage. But as far as fan base, I mean,
we have the bigger stage, but we can't actually sell out the arena. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Whereas Carl Froch could fight George Groves, who, you know, outside of giving Carl Froch a really tough scrap, hadn't proved anything on a world level. But he was able to fight George Groves in front of 80,000 at Wembley Stadium. That does not happen in the United States at all.
No.
Even those big pay-per-view events, you may spend $70 on the event, but very rarely is a stadium sold out to capacity like that. So, you know,
Kell Brook could go in Wembley, and if he fight Amir Khan, that's immediately going to sell
fight.
Out.
It's
immediately
going to
sell
out. It's a huge fight in Wembley. But you know what? If you take the same two similar quality fighters over here in the United States, it doesn't sell. A lot of times they don't even put it in a smart location. But it doesn't, it's just that, you know, the European fans are much more passionate about the sport at this point than the American fans. You know, that's just fact of the matter.
Yeah, you put Tim Bradley in a stadium in Sacramento, it's not going to sell out.
No.
That's a shame, to be honest.
Especially this next fight.
Yeah, I can't believe we're getting that one again. Can't believe we're getting that one again.
Yeah.
A little disappointed with that one, but, you know.
Teddy Atlas can change initial things that Bradley can do in a fight initially. But once the fight starts kind of getting to what it's going to be, we're going to see old Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
His only hope is that Pacquiao has slowed down enough that he can't really get to Bradley, and Bradley could try to play that keep away game. And that's mainly with Pacquiao's feet. If Pacquiao's feet has slowed up enough, then Bradley may have a chance to play that keep away game, go inside and hold at times, catch Pacquiao off guard, mix it up. Otherwise,
yeah, I've seen 24 rounds of that, and I was really good after about 7 or 8. And I was like, okay, this is what the fight is going to look like, for the most part, all the time, unless something drastic happens. That, you know, I'm a fight fan. I'll watch any fight that is affordable and economical. But, again, that's just not one. Kind of like the Floyd Mayweather-Andre Berto fight. That's not one I'm going to spend a lot of money on to watch. So,
Well, you know, Teddy did say last week that they asked him, what are you going to do with your fighter? He said, we're going to correct the mistakes from the first two fights, and we're going to use the experience we had from those two to go in there and take him out. So
that's a lot of
we'll
correcting.
See what happens. Yeah.
That's a lot of correcting.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know what? I like Tim Bradley, but the fact of the matter is you know, when I watched Floyd Mayweather and Pacquiao, I didn't need to see that again because, you know, maybe Manny catches him, but Floyd Mayweather's a better boxer. Simple as that. That's what it came down to. When I watched Tim Bradley and Manny Pacquiao, no matter what happens, anytime I'm watching that, I'm just like, you know, Pacquiao's just kind of the superior boxer. Nine times out of ten, I think he wins. And the one time he doesn't, it's because of an atrocious decision. So, it's just not a very compelling fight to me. And if it's going to be compelling, we're expecting it to be compelling, not even so much because that, you know, because of the reaction of Atlas on Bradley. We're expecting it, if it's compelling, to be compelling because we think Pacquiao may have slipped enough to where it could become compelling. That's not interesting. It's not interesting to me to say, oh, all of a sudden we got a great fight because this fighter no longer fights as well. It's clear who the better fighter is. Personally, I'd like to see them move on. But, you know, it's Pacquiao. Pacquiao's done everything that's been asked of him by Arum. And, you know, Arum, from what I've just recently read, too, Arum made it seem like this was Pacquiao's choice, that Pacquiao was choosing his last opponent. But they said that Arum chose Bradley. Or Pacquiao said, yeah, you know, Arum chose Bradley. And, it makes sense economically for everybody involved. But, again, for the fans, there's no one who's calling this a compelling fight. So, it is what it is.
Then you have poor Amir Khan leaving himself out there, outpricing himself, looking for one big fight and not fighting anyone.
You know, Amir Khan is a career in stagnation. The funny thing is with Floyd Mayweather, you know, hobbling off to retirement, and Pacquiao, you know, on his last leg, so to speak, I think what happens is there's, you know, a changing of the guard, but no one has separated himself from the rest to really claim that spot. What Amir Khan has done is, because outside of those guys, he considers himself to have the biggest name recognition. He does to some extent, even though he's not on their level. And so he just sits around and just waits for the big fight, subsequently not fighting. He only got one fight last year, and it wasn't a great performance against Chris Algieri. So think about this. This guy's finally, you know, he fought a lot. He's fought a lot. You know, I give him credit. He's fought in his career a lot of good competition. But then once he got to a certain level, he kind of just put the brakes on. And he's just kind of waited out for the big fight. And while he's been waiting for the big fight, he hasn't been wanting to take the most dangerous opposition. So, therefore, he's not separating himself from the Keith Thurmans or the Sean Porters. He's just among the group. And so because he's never separated himself, there was never a mandate for Amir Khan to fight Floyd Mayweather, for Amir Khan to fight Manny Pacquiao. It was never like, you know what, you guys need to fight Amir Khan because he's beating all the others. No, he just was sitting around saying, just fight me, fight me. And now that everybody's kind of walked off without him, he's still in the same position he was 3 years ago. In the welterweight division, still looking to prove himself because he hasn't proved himself in the welterweight division at all.
And that's the thing. Amir Khan he's fought in this tough competition as a junior welterweight. He hasn't done anything at welterweight, really. He's talked about the big fight. He's talked that, you know, this contract, whatever, however that went. And he hasn't, you're absolutely correct, he hasn't demanded anything with his performances. First of all, he hasn't performed against anyone, really. And then he just hasn't, you know, not at welterweight. I mean, we see the flashes of speed. We see everything. But then we also see certain vulnerabilities in him. There's certain vulnerabilities against people that we don't necessarily think he should have vulnerabilities against. So, I mean, he's not proven worthy. He's not had spectacular flash knockout performances. You know how welterweight.
Maybe Virgil Hunter is just too calm and relaxing because Andre Ward, Amir Khan, these guys don't fight. So maybe he just Zen likes them so much. They're just of peace now, and they just choose not to throw blows because Andre Ward and Amir Khan, his two best fighters probably, you know, they've been in the ring one time in the last year combined. You know what I mean? Twice in the last year combined. That's not great. So, you know, you definitely, like Zito's saying, Amir Khan needs to do something to separate himself, and he never mandated a shot at Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather. So we'll see if he fights Shelbrook.
I don't think he will.
You know what? The only reason why I think he will is because of the it'd be the biggest fight financially for him now. You know what I mean? And that's all it would be, the biggest fight for him financially.
Hey, guys, we're joined by the new Ray Roberts.
Hey,
Ray,
hey, hey, how you guys doing?
How's it going,
how's
Ray?
Doing, good,
you're
good.
Doing good. Oh, Ray, we talked earlier in the week, and I wasn't able to share with Ty the news. You want to share it with us?
Yeah, I had a big fight coming up January 30th, but unfortunately I wound up getting into a car crash and wound up getting hit from the back. So it kind of, you know, that type of luck that I wound up getting hit from the back and kind of injured my back a little bit. So I'm out of the fight now. So it's kind of sucked.
Oh, that's that was a Showtime
yeah.
fight, right?
It was an HBO fight.
HBO.
I am so sorry to hear that, brother.
I know, man. It was definitely one of them things that, you know, really, you know, irritated me, frustrated, you know, why me type of thing, but, you know.
Physically, you're okay, though?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm just dealing with, I'm going through therapy now and then just getting things done to get me back healthy. So it's definitely not a career-ending problem, but it definitely helped me out.
Horrible
time. You can't fight.
Horrible timing.
Yeah, bad timing. Exactly.
Bad timing. Oh, really sorry to hear that. Was looking forward to seeing you on HBO, brother. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely, man. When it's my time, I get there and definitely show out.
Yeah. These two guys were so happy when they saw you in Philly that they talked about it for a month almost.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, Ray, other than that, how's things going?
Good. Everything is good. You know, my daughter is fine. Everything else is, I'm healthy. You know, I look at things as, you know, things could have been much worse. But, you know, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
Now, are you able to do anything at all as far as training or anything while you're going through physical therapy?
Right. See, that's the thing. It's a little bit too early only because it just happened. My back is still, like, very inflamed. So that means it's still swollen a little bit. So I'm definitely trying to – I don't want to rush it. I just want to make sure I get it back and make sure I'm doing the right things and the proper steps to do it. And then when I'm at my 100%, then I start training again and, you know. But you guys know me well. I eat right, so I keep my weight down.
Yeah,
so I don't got to worry about that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. That's one of the things Ray had mentioned earlier, that he had kept his weight down. He was only five pounds over, and he knew he was going to make the fight weight. So it sort of messes things up. But, Ray, you've had a change in management since the last time we talked to you. You want to tell the guys about
that? Yeah, I did. Right now, I'm not rushing to look into anyone. I have been in contact with some people. I am getting closer and closer, I feel like, to making a deal. But for right now, it's just taking my time and trying to see what's out there and what's the right thing, you know. Now, three years is a long time, so I got to make sure I do it the right way.
How were you able to secure the spot on the main event card?
I got like an advisor, someone that's been helping me giving me good advice and looking over contracts for me and things like that. So I actually changed like almost my whole circle up. So I got the right people I feel like in my corner. And so before I make any changes or anything, I have people helping me out and nothing basically goes out without me looking at things too. So we are all on the same level. So yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a great thing. That's a great thing.
Yeah, life's a tough teacher, isn't it? You have to learn so many different
really
things
is.
Here. And now you've got this to keep in. Yeah.
Always something.
Right. So we were Z last week we were talking, of course, to Kathy. And Z was expanding about how he felt that you were going to take this fight. And maybe you can See, you want to review that with him so he'll know what you're saying, and then see what his ideas of what he was going to do.
Oh, yeah. I was just telling Kathy that her fighter, the mechanic, that he better have cardio. He should, if he has cardio, enough cardio, and he presses the fight, it can make the fight with you guys interesting. Just because you're a slick southpaw with cardio, very defensive conscious. And that, I mean, that's going to take a lot to even get to you.
Yeah, that's the thing. They call him the mechanic. I've seen him fight. He's a very active fighter. But a lot of people don't remember that when I fought for Rock Nation on Fox Sports 1, I almost threw over 1,000 punches. I threw 960-something punches. So I'm a very active fighter, too, although that I'm a defensive fighter. I throw a lot of punches and bunches, too, and I thought it was going to be a great fight. I feel as though that he didn't really fight no one that used angles, that's smart and, you know, uses distance very well. So I already know what type of fighter he is. He's a fighter that keeps coming forward and throwing a bunch of punches. So I already knew that he's not a guy that's going to change his style and try to outbox me. You know, so I already know what he's going to do. So it would have been a good fight, you know. It just, unfortunately, that thing that happened, but I'm sure that we'll run into each other again.
Neat. Ty, got any questions?
You know, maybe we should talk to Butch, maybe you should talk to Kathy, because that was I just, you know, more than, and I'm gutted for you, right, just because you're a great dude, and that was a great opportunity. And
it would
be nice it'd be nice if Kathy could, you know, once he's healthy, could look to maybe put that fight back together to give Ray that kind of opportunity again. You know what I mean?
I think it would have been a good fight. Definitely.
Yeah.
I
had asked her that this afternoon.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had called her this afternoon to see if, number one, if they had replaced Ray. She said no, they hadn't got it yet, but she's going to call me this week when they do. And the second one was, I said, will you be able to put this fight back together? She said, most certainly.
I think that's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I think that we definitely make a good fight. You don't see too many fighters out there now that's taking tough fights, and I love to, you know, I'm into boxing, not to sit around. I'm into boxing to fight the best and definitely move up in the rankings. So it would have definitely been a good fight. You guys look at my resume, man. I don't hide or duck fighters. So I know a lot of people have been, you know, not wanting to fight him, but, you know, I took they gave me a name and I took the opportunity. I was ready to run with it, but.
And we were really excited, more so excited just for the opportunity for you. You know, we figure, you know, it's a HBO co-feature fight. This could really lead to something. You know, a good performance really sets things up for you. So, it'd definitely be nice if Kathy could, you know, secure you a spot. That would really be good to hear, actually.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think it would be good for the sport. It would be good for us. It would be good for the fans. You know, it's just one of them things that, you know, the fans and everyone want to see, you know, a fighter that keeps coming through a bunch of punches to a fighter that's very slick defense and use angles and throws a lot of punches, too. So it's definitely was going to be an action-packed fight, but, you know.
I think this is kind of one of those situations, too, where, you know, Al Haymon kind of has, like, you know, to a certain extent, the welterweight market cornered. You know, everybody fighting on PBC. I think this is one of those occasions where, because you're not with PBC, somebody like Kathy, you know, who's not doing significant business with Al Haymon, they got to come find you. When they look for a quality welterweight, your name is going to be called. You know, that's just somebody we can go ahead and find. It's someone we can work with. We can work with their management. So I'm glad you got good people around you because obviously it looks like opportunities are really going to start coming your way.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. I think that they definitely hit jackpot when they found me because you really don't find fighters that, you know, live right, eat right, and stay ready and stay in shape, you know. I don't walk over and make sure I'm not, you know, 15, 20, 30 pounds over my weight. I make sure that I stay ready. If the opportunity is right and everything else is in line, I can take a fight on short notice, you know. I'm very reliable, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know, this thing that happened is something that was out of my control. I wound up you know, it wasn't me driving around reckless. I wanted him getting hit from the back. So it's one of them things that really, you know, messed up my head
a little bit, but
now I'm back on track. Yeah, you know, so.
Did it happen there in Philly?
Yeah. It was in Newtown. Yeah, it was actually in Newtown.
You know what, man? One thing I will say from having lived in Philly for a year and a half or so, I hate the way they drive in Philly, man.
Oh, man. You know what it is? I'm actually starting to hate everybody the way they drive. Nobody pays attention. Everyone worried about their phone. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, I want to sometimes get out of my car, knock on the person's window, and throw their phone. You know, man, I was so upset with that guy, man, that hit me, and I was, I was so upset.
Was he at least apologetic and cool? He was, and that's what it was. When
it first happened, I was like, man, I thought, what is this? You know, I went crazy, then I was like, I calmed down, I was like, man, I'm sorry, man, I was like, I got this big opportunity coming up, I can't believe you just did this to me. It could have been a worse time. You know, I wouldn't even care if it had been February 1st, right after
exactly.
You know, I wouldn't even mind as much. So it was one of the things. He was very sorry. He said it was his fault 100%. And so it was just, you know, one of them things. So I was like, oh, man, I was heartbroken, though.
Sure. Ray, you got a 22-0 record. What do you think was the – who do you think was your heaviest fight or your toughest fight?
I say that Russian guy that I fought that was 25-0, I fought in Dover Dam.
Just recently, right? Like a couple years, yeah.
Yeah, I say a year ago. He's definitely, I think I beat him for the NADO title. I think he already had like 12 title defenses. He was 25-0. He was one of them type of fighters that definitely made me go to a new level that night. And I love that, though. Honestly, I love getting challenged, you know. I'm not scared of hard work or a challenge. I love that. The best come out of me when that happened, you know, when someone, they're giving me the run for my money and making me earn that check that I got that night. You know, I appreciate that, you know, because I know for a fact that the fans going to see, like, hey, that guy, you know, he went to a new level that night. And I did. And it changed me as a fighter, actually. It definitely changed me as a fighter. And I feel as though that if I didn't stay ready like I stay ready, I definitely would probably have got beat that night because I felt like I needed endurance that fight. I needed heart. It came down to just not giving up on who wanted it more. And that night, I wanted it more, you know. And it showed my heart, what type of heart I got. It showed that I can outbox you. I can go on the inside. So I was able to show fans I can do it all, you know. So it was pretty cool.
And I remember seeing that fight. He was a guy who pressed the action a bit, threw quite a bit of punches.
Yeah,
and
he fights just like the guy I was going to fight.
Yeah, and he made you use angles and bring out other parts of the game. I definitely agree. He made you do a different job.
Yeah, 100%, man. He was the type of guy that made me stay on my bike, that made me go inside, that made me box. So it was pretty cool. It actually, I look back at the fight, I shocked myself. I was like, oh, man, you know. So it was one of them type of fights. So it was good. So it was, I say he was one of the toughest that definitely made me up my game, and that was one of the fights I actually appreciate having.
Mm-hmm. That was Kozef, right?
Yes.
Making it through those fights builds you for upcoming fights like that. I mean, I can understand that.
Sure.
Yeah,
have to go through tough.
You do, and everyone already see my resume. I fought them Brad Solomon, Sean Porter, the tough fighters, the tough names already. So I'm waiting to, you know, I feel as though I should have been on that HBO stage, or I should have been fighting Andre Berto or Danny Garcia, one of them, America. I know what I can do. I know that I feel as though that's something I deserve. If you look at my resume, I really didn't have it easy. You know, I actually fought tough fighters, man. You got fighters nowadays that, listen, they undefeated, but they undefeated by not fighting.
Exactly.
Competition,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I know
exactly.
Back in the day, it really wasn't, people didn't really worry about the record. You know, listen,
nope.
Everybody would love to be undefeated. You know, trust me, I would love to be. But I'm actually happy that certain things happened the way it happened because I learned from them. I learned from them losses, but I'm a way better fighter now.
And you know what? And though everybody
fighter.
Would like to be undefeated, when you think of the greatest fighters in history, none of them are undefeated.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it's because they all took chances. They all had to take
exactly.
chances to get to that level. They all took chances to bring the greatness out them. And I'm not afraid. I'm in this sport that I know what can happen. I know that I'm going to get hit. I know I might get knocked down. I got to get back up. I know I might take that L. Listen, I'm in the sport, so I'm not scared of them things. So I'm willing
mm-hmm.
to fight the best. That it doesn't matter that 100% you would know that you was in a fight too. So it doesn't that doesn't scare me that I'm a lose. That all that I'm okay with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to put on a show. I want to get on that big stage. I want them big names. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
If everything gets back to normal and you're back in training, who would you like to be your next fight?
I see that the whole WBC is actually doing a cool tournament. So I would love to definitely get a run at that, man. I wanna fight them big names. I'm you know what I'm saying? I really do. I wanna show everyone that I deserve to be on that stage. And you know, I see Al Haymon got a bunch of fighters, Golden Boy, man. I'm not taking picks. You know,
no, you're in a position where you can work with anybody too. So.
Yeah,
sure.
I really can, and I got that style that I can, you know, fight anyone. I can adapt to anything. You know what I'm saying? And that happens from me having a great fights as an amateur fighter. I know I can adapt to anything, so I really believe that I can definitely hold my own for whoever I fight. You know, so I want to run at that WBC title. I definitely do. I'm hungry.
Hey, Ray, let me ask you a question. You brought the question to my mind when you were saying, you know, stylistically. When you think of your style, who do you look at as far as, you know, the top name guys? Who do you look at and say, you know what, just stylistically, I'm poison for that kid? Like, who is it stylistically where you know that's just you would be a bad style matchup for him on that level?
Honestly, I think So Saddam Ali, I know he's an up-and-coming fighter, man. He's,
right, yeah.
He's a tough dude, but I just feel like I think a lot of people sometimes sleep on me, but I really think that that would be a tough fight for him, like me. You know what I'm saying? That like I don't think he would want that fight, you know? Or he would definitely have big trouble in that fight if he fought me, Saddam Ali, and I want us to, you know, hopefully fight for, you know, a big title or
right.
I'm trying to think of another one. I'm not a big, like, again, a American. I mean, I see holes in his style. I think
right.
I'm too long. Honestly, I think I will affect so many people's style only because I'm so tall, long, lanky.
Yeah.
And people look at me when outside the ring, they're like, that kid's tall and he's long. When I get inside the ring, I look tall and longer, you know?
You do look, you really do, man. You look a lot bigger and longer
long
in the
arms.
Ring than you do. Yeah, you do. You
yeah,
look real long in the ring, man. Long arms.
Yeah, man. I do. Sometimes I look back at the
range you do, man.
I say, man, like how I look like I've grown a couple. So, yeah, I definitely think a lot of people, I will give them problems. Danny Garcia, man, listen, I know he's from Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, but
that's a good
I
one stylistically,
Danny Garcia,
yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
That would be
such
an awesome fight. And I know for a fact he will have a treble and a half with me. I mean, I am too long, too fast.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit there and let him throw them big bombs. I'm not. It just.
When you said that, it instantly was like, oh,
Danny
Garcia,
he would
have trouble.
Might be the best one. I think Danny Garcia would be
awesome
fight. Yeah,
your style would definitely be a problem for him.
Yeah, man. We should have it in Philly. Temple, man, we'll sell that thing out. We'll fight for the WBC title that he's actually about to fight for, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody
call
him.
You'll see a fight back at the...
I think we just made a fight.
Yeah, the only
Danny,
problem is
it takes a minute.
they can't have it at the Leocora Center because it costs so much money, and they didn't really draw a lot. But I could see it happening downtown, or I could see it.
I honestly think me and Danny Garcia would be an awesome fight. I think that I even think Al Heyman would even like that. You know, it was just one of them type of fights, two Philly fights. It was just like Danny Jacobs when he fought Kid Chocolate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It would be just like that. Yeah. And I just think that it would be good for the sport. It would be good for the fans. You know, I think my style and his style would be perfect.
So for you.
For you.
With Danny, it takes a minute for his engine to get started against a style that he likes, that gives a style that's beneficial to him. Against other styles, I mean, I keep alluding to that last couple rounds of the Zab Judah fight.
Yeah, I know, man. The thing is, he started off slow and he died at the end.
I never looked at it that way, but
it's the truth.
Sound like the Black Beauty in the horror movie.
Start off slow and die at the end. Oh man!
Wow.
That would be a terrific turning fight, and maybe.
Yeah, I think so too, man.
Yeah, who's he fighting tonight?
He's fighting Guerrero.
Guerrero,
that's right.
I don't know how he's fighting for the WBC.
Yeah. There was a lot of stink made that fight was for a vacant title, actually. Specifically coming off of Guerrero's last few performances. So.
Yeah, yeah.
That's next week, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know, man. Hopefully, if Al Heyman hear this, man, he get a good idea that we should do something in Philly. I think even Philadelphia would love it, you know. Two Philly fighters going at it. You know, I think it's awesome.
Well, we have a call into Layman. He calls us back off the air. He every time we're supposed to have him on the air, he forgets about it. But I'll bring you I'll bring that up to him when I talk to him tomorrow. I'm sure he'll call me tomorrow because I put a call in to him yesterday. But let me just ask you this: we've talked about your style, we've talked about Danny's style. What do you think that fight? How do you think that fight's going to come out? Guerrero.
Actually, I think Guerrero. I know Guerrero is a tough cookie. I'm not putting nothing past him. But I just think Danny Garcia is a little bit too young.
Yeah.
Still hungry. I think Guerrero, since his last type of performances, it wasn't, you know, the best.
But
I'm not saying Danny Garcia had some of his best performances, but I don't think Danny Garcia should do his style, sit there and just trade. It's no need for it. And we are, like I said, sometimes Danny Garcia kind of slowed down at the end. So, you know, Guerrero got heart. That's one thing that man do got his heart.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to beat a person with heart, you know?
Yeah.
Danny hasn't looked great, but in a sense, it's almost like, you know, he's kind of underperformed. Whereas Guerrero, the last couple times Guerrero's been out, Guerrero's looked like he's kind of headed the other way, like he's kind of downhillish.
Yeah.
As opposed to not performing to his level, he just doesn't seem like he's at that level anymore. Just too many tough fights.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I agree, 100%. Well, I agree with you. So I think Danny Garcia definitely take it. I think Danny Garcia definitely take it.
Yeah. Guerrero is slowed up, and this is not the fight for him to be slower. And Guerrero fights on straight lines going forward anyway. And
I
mean, that's the even what Danny Garcia wants.
That's exactly what Danny wants.
Danny have problems with people that use angles, that's fast.
Yeah.
That's the last thing.
Lamont Peterson gave him hell.
Honestly,
I thought Lamont Peterson won the fight 9 to 10 rounds, personally.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And
when I look at that fight
and I think of your style, then, Danny has problems with your style.
I 100% agree, man. And, Guerrero is the guy that walked forward, barely moves his head, but don't move his head. You know what I'm saying? So he's just going to be a punching bag, basically, I think, Danny. And when he slowed, when Danny Garcia slowed down, that's when the fight's gonna get interesting around 8, 9 because Guerrero's gonna still come and still punch, but Danny Garcia's gonna already have the fight in the bag.
Yeah. He's never been the biggest puncher at welterweight. He's not, you know,
no.
Actually, Guerrero, you know, he's never been the biggest welterweight either.
I agree.
Obviously, starting his career at 126. Whereas Danny was the guy who was struggling to make 140. You know what I mean? So
yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, Danny Garcia is a big guy. When I say big guy, it doesn't mean, like, height-wise I'm talking about.
No, yeah, he's
just
a thick kid.
A big guy.
Yeah.
He's thick.
Yeah.
I remember when he used to, his dad used to take him down to the armory there over there in Powhatan. That's where he first started his fighting career, and he seemed to be a little chunky at times.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, it's been a pleasure having you on again. And
thank you guys for having me. It's been a while.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Well, two things you got to know. One, you're never out of our mind. Two, you're always going to be
a friend
of the show because that's the way we feel it. You know, we've gotten to be friends, the four of us. And you've always
Absolutely.
Got four people here in your corner. So,
well, thank you guys, man. I appreciate it. Like I said, if anybody see Al Haney before I see him, you know, let him know. Just run an idea by him about the Danny Garcia
Definitely.
And Ray Robinson and Philly.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking about the Philly fight. The last time Danny fought, he fought down in Puerto Rico. And he fought a guy from Puerto Rico, and all of a sudden he was. They were two Puerto Rican fighters. You forgot all about his Philadelphia upbringing, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I was sitting here laughing while you were saying that. But, well, great. We hope your rehabilitation comes out good and that you're able to get back into the ring in a very short time.
Thank you, guys.
Please,
I appreciate it.
Don't rush
no,
it.
No, I definitely won't rush it. I want to definitely make sure I'm 100% right, and I already know that no fighter goes in a ring 100%. I already know that, trust me. But I was barely able to sit down without, you know, pain, so I didn't want to chance nothing. I wanted to make sure I look good on the on this big stage. I didn't want to, you know what I'm saying, be 30 or 40%. So I wanted to make sure I was definitely right. So, yeah, man, I'm definitely going to take my time and do what I have to do to get back and definitely get back on that stage.
Well, now, since you gave us all this time, and we really appreciate the time that you give us, why don't you give us a plug for your gym?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing personal training now. So,
are you?
I'm just doing personal training. I go to people's houses now and just train them. So,
you're doing in home?
Yeah, I go to people's homes now and I just
do personal
training.
Yeah, that's what my wife used to do.
I love to do, man. I love the one-on-one and I can break things down and teach them. And that's the reason why I got into boxing, is the science part of it. So,
that's
what I love to do. So, yeah, if anyone that wants, you know, training, please inbox me, go to the new Ray Robinson Facebook or Instagram, and inbox me and let me know.
Great.
All right, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Take care, little girl.
I feel better, man.
We wish you a lot of luck.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
All right, well, have a good night.
You too. That was a great interview. He's always a great interview and always upbeat about everything. Even though, you know, when I talked to him the other night, I said, I'm there congratulating him about his big break, and he tells me, there's been a little bit of change there. And me, I would have been pissed. I'd have jumped out of that car and just started whooping on somebody.
Telling me that was a gut shot, man. When I first read that, And at this level, you know, I didn't even think about win or lose. I was just so excited that he had the opportunity to ply his trade on HBO. And then you just know that win or lose, a good performance, man, it keeps him out there. It's just a great opportunity for him. Like, I was really he's like my favorite fighter. I was really excited for the guy. So, this was very disappointing to hear. But then you hear him talk, and you get excited for him again because you know he's going to get that opportunity eventually. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. And, and you know, working with him, you know, working with a group that he's working with now, he seems to he's very happy about that and feels that he's going to be able to make some connections that he wasn't getting before. So that'll be a terrific terrific thing if he can get back on with Kathy and do a Showtime or a HBO show.
Yeah, I really he's a guy you like to see get a good break. You know, they don't like to talk about all the good guys in boxing. He is truly one of the good guys.
Really is. Yeah, one thing Kathy did say to me on the phone was that, or maybe it was last week, that with HBO, they only get 3 shots a year. But if she takes them overseas, they can fight almost whenever they want.
Maybe
that'll be a another door that'll open for him if things work out. Well, guys, we're here at the end of our hour. So, Z, you want to lead us out?
I certainly do. It's been another wonderful show, another wonderful week. I want to thank you guys, my family at Fighting Words. I definitely want to thank the new Ray Robinson. You shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call. Ty?
Hey, it was great being on. I missed you guys. And unfortunately, I won't be on the next 2 weeks because I will be away. But it's great talking to Ray. Gutted for him, but we know he's going to get another opportunity because, you know, sometimes good people get good karma. So let's pray and hope that happens for Ray. Butch, great talking to you. Hope all is well. Missed Dr. Chris. Bob is our co-pilot, and I'll see you guys in a few weeks.
I did have an update on the golf game. They're 1-1, and I feel again. My condolences to the people in Ponce, Puerto Rico, because those two on the same course is just like, oh my God! But I want to thank both of you for being on. Ty, I wish you safe travels and good luck in Utah. There's a neat little place downtown. You going to Salt Lake, is it, or Park City?
I'm going to Park City, but we screen in Salt Lake one night.
Yeah, it's a great little Italian restaurant there, Fuca di Chao. That if you like Italian food, it's tremendous and it's very reasonable. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, just give them a wink, a handshake, anything. Let them know you're there. They're also dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcott, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longo Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Patrolman Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Sheriff Deputy Darrell Goforth, my brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, and sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hand. Good night. God bless.
Shemalek ma yelama Shemalek zahir ma Sona shen vor atfet akuig again my irma
and we love you.